It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, the 29th of January. I'm David Gura, in for Ben Johnson. Later today, Amazon will report its earnings for the fourth quarter of last year. A new report estimates its Prime service, which offers unlimited free two-day shipping, now has 40 million U.S. subscribers, and the company just announced a new email tool for businesses. But Amazon stock has taken a beating from investors who have been frustrated with the company's heavy spending and not-so-heavy profits. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Amazon's share price fell more than 22% last year. Analyst Michael Pachter with Wedbush Securities says the e-commerce juggernaut is raking in money on sales, but then spending too much of it.
Some of the things make perfect sense, and I think shareholders endorse them.
Like building more fulfillment centers to get stuff to people faster.
And other things don't make as much sense, and I think shareholders are getting kind of disgusted.
Like the disappointing launch of the Fire Phone. BGC financial analyst Colin Gillis says investors are tired of waiting for all this spending to turn back into profit.
Every time that seems to become near, there's a new area for Amazon to invest in, and the latest is content. Let's make movies. Let's build TV series.
Amazon recently announced it's signed Woody Allen to direct a new TV series available to members of its Prime subscription service. The hope is this foray into original content will lure more subscribers who reportedly spend an average of $1,500 a year in the U.S. on Amazon products. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The social networking giant Facebook announced its latest earnings yesterday, just after the closing bell, and the company beat analysts' expectations. Last quarter, Facebook's revenue was $3.85 billion, and it made a profit of just about $700 million. Brian Blau is an analyst with Gartner.
They did pretty well, and it's really been boosted by their ad efforts on mobile.
Facebook claims it has 745 million active daily users and almost twice as many users every month. And Blau says the majority of them access Facebook with smartphones and tablets.
Well, there's still certainly a healthy business that they have on desktop, but, you know, with more than 65%, almost 70% of their users, you know, daily on their mobile app, you can see it's really taken over.
And when you look at ad revenue, more than two-thirds of it came from mobile ads. Facebook says there's been big growth in video with 3 billion video views each and every day. That's three times what it was in September.
In the future, I think you're going to see video and even other forms of media become really important, especially as people adopt wearables and use different types of computing devices, all different form factors.
Gartner analyst Brian Blau. And Facebook said revenues would have been even bigger if the dollar were not as strong as it is right now. A high-ranking State Department official led a delegation to Cuba over the weekend. In December, the U.S. and Cuba announced they plan to normalize relations after 50 years. It's still early days, but many U.S. companies are eager to do business with Cuba, including many telecom companies. Ted Henkin is a Cuba expert at Baruch College who studied how Cubans use the Internet. Hi, Ted.
Hello. Great to be with you.
What are the barriers to access? Is it financial? Is it expensive to get online? Is it technical? Not everybody's hooked up?
Yeah, both of those things are key. It costs, on average, to get 1 hour of internet service. It costs $5. Cubans make, on average, $20 a month. That's a big obstacle. There's two final obstacles that are more political. Of course, there's the external embargo that has been significantly weakened over the last month, especially in the telecom area. And then there's the ideological things where they actually block some websites from access within the island.
In a country like China, people can visit sites outside of China through VPNs, through all kinds of maneuvering. Do the same sort of mechanisms exist there in Cuba?
Absolutely. There's a saying in Cuba, everything is prohibited, but anything goes.
And describe a few of those workarounds to me.
The two most common ones are using flash drives as the internet that people can buy on Monday for $5, on Tuesday for $4, all the way to Friday it costs $1, because the news and information, the apps, the movies are old by the end of the week, and so a new one comes out the next Monday. This is a big phenomenon, very common, and it's penetrated all parts of the island. The other workaround are these mesh networks. They wire a bunch of computers together in various neighborhoods, and they can mostly, it's focused on sharing ideas, information, playing games. But of course, it has larger implications because it is independent, and it seems independent from outside funding sources such as the U.S. government.
Ted, if you were to put this into context, the level of restriction on the internet in Cuba, how does it compare to other countries around the world?
Cuba is one of the most disconnected countries in the world, especially in the Western Hemisphere. And this is especially, I think, bitter or frustrating for Cubans because at the same time, Cuba has one of the highest human development indicators in terms of access to health care, access to education. And so you have a rising level of frustration because Cubans, they're connected to modern ideas, but they can't share them easily with one another or get new ideas easily from outside the country. And so that has led to really a broad-based demand among the Cuban population for open access to the internet.
Ted Hankin is the author of Entrepreneurial Cuba, The Changing Policy Landscape. Ted, thank you very much.
Great pleasure to be with you.
And finally, an analyst has crunched some numbers, and last year, Apple paid about $10 billion to app developers worldwide. That's more than Hollywood earned at the box office, in the U.S. at least. I'm David Gura, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.